Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. This is a recording of our Sunday morning sermons here at Prairie Oaks Baptist Church in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Thank you for being a participant in this ministry through this media. And thank you to those who helped make it possible. Now may God bless you and keep you. And let's get to the message. John chapter 18, verse 28. And if you would, out of respect for God's word, would you stand with me? Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Let's pause for prayer. Father, just thankful for the time together in your word. I thank you, Lord, for each one that comes to participate in this. It is indeed a privilege and a thrill to teach your word, O Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Because you, God, have to do the work. So I ask you, Lord, to guide my words and thoughts, to teach your word accurately, that your word would stir in hearts, O Lord. That the lost would be saved, lives transformed, the believers built up, and that your name would be praised both here and in the world as we go forth as your salt and your light in a world that is dark and desperate without you, corrupt, dead in sin and trespasses. We need revival, O Lord, so stir revival in my heart, in our hearts, in our community, in our church, in our country. We need you, O God. Work in the children's chapel, Lord, doing the same spirit work there as you do in here. And we ask all these things in the name and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So now we kind of jumping midstream, but boy, this is a big river. So we've got a little bit of context to put this into is that, so John chapter 18, if you're unfamiliar with this section, this is Jesus on trial for his life. And spoiler alert, he gets crucified at the end of the story. I know who guessed, but this is the progression that's going on. And I would really encourage you, as we go through this, take some time in the other Gospels as well. Because no one writer tells all of the story. They all chose different parts of the story to tell in order to reinforce what they were teaching about Jesus. And maybe just things that they were more familiar with than others were. Because each person was there for different things. And so, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's something you might want to do is there's something called a harmony of the Gospels, where they kind of weave them all together. I don't always agree with every harmony that I see, but it would be something that if you really want to get into it, look for something like that and for the events leading up to the crucifixion. So you'll see how it all blends together. Because in John's case, he told us, and we looked at last week, Peter being tempted and falling to temptation and denying Christ three times, just as he'd been warned, and just as he had not only been warned, but Jesus gave with the warning instructions how not to fall, but he didn't follow the command to pray, to be vigilant. And so when temptation came, he fell. But he did not fail just because Jesus had prayed for him. And when he was restored, then he was able to use that fall to help others in their fall and to avoid falls, just as we were taught last week how to avoid falls by looking at Peter's example. And that, praise God, we serve a very merciful and gracious Savior who receives sinners, even those who deny him. Because reality is we probably deny him more than we were willing to admit when we're faced in the world with opposition and persecution and temptation. But as that was going on, John doesn't tell us about the trial before Caiaphas, the high priest, and the whole Sanhedrin. And that's because John knew that Matthew, Mark, and Luke had told more of those details. And so the gist of that is, they were testing him to see if they really weren't testing anything except Jesus' patience, because they had already made up their mind. He's a blasphemer. How can we prove it so that we can have him executed? And so that's what they did. They brought in false witnesses. They had a hard time finding some that could even agree. And if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus wasn't trying to defend himself, but had came to lay down his life for us, that was the only reason it got as far as it did. And so they decided he was a blasphemer, and they decided he should die, just as they had already decided. And so Roman law required any execution had to be done with the permission of Rome, because Rome didn't want the locals killing off their sympathizers. And so they jealously guarded that government prerogative. And so there could be mobs and they would throw rocks and kill people, but that wasn't a government execution. And whoever did that got in trouble because that was considered murder by Roman law. So when you see that taking place both in the Gospels or in Acts, remember those people were acting outside of government permission. They were lawbreakers too. And so they want him executed. And I think part of it is they don't want to have the execution on their watch. They want the Romans to do it so they can blame the Romans for this. And so they send Jesus to the Roman governor, who happens to be in Jerusalem for the weekend. And that's Pilate. And that's where our story picks up, is in verse 28. He's led from Caiaphas, the leader of the Jewish council, to the governor's office, and here comes Pilate. Pilate, you know his name. You've heard of it before. And there's something interesting or ironic in his telling of it, because John points out that they didn't actually go into the Roman office because, it was the Passover season, and they didn't want to be corrupted by being in a Gentile's house, Who knows what Gentiles do in their house? And so they stayed outside and made him come out to the porch to visit with them. And you catch the irony. They're worried about little scruples when they're busy murdering an innocent man. They profess with their mouth, but their heart is far, far from God. It's easy for us to do our favorite parts of the law. It's hard for us to do justice, mercy, loving our neighbor, all those things. You ever notice that? The weightier matters of the law are a lot harder than our favorite parts that it's easy for us to do. And so we're real quick to judge oftentimes by our favorite parts of the law when we ourselves, we've missed the big thing. Speck in the eye versus the fence post in the eye, right? And so Pilate comes out to him, and they'd already had some conversation with Pilate, most likely. But obviously, he decides, because he's not a big fan of them anyways, says, all right, we're going to do this by the books. What's your accusation? And they're like, I thought we'd already taken care of this. We just want you to kill him. No. What is your accusation? If you don't have one, judge him by your law. But we want him killed, and you won't let us do it ourselves. I'm paraphrasing, can you tell? But this is the gist of what's going on in this. And so apparently there's some conversation then where they settle on, okay, he's guilty of sedition. He's an insurrectionist. He's trying to lead an army to overthrow Rome because he thinks he should be king. So that's where Pilate comes in then and says, are you king of the Jews? That's a loaded question. That's a really good question because the answer is both. And so Jesus asked him, so what do you mean by your question? Is this you asking the question or are you just going on what you've heard from those guys? Because as we're going to see, there's a nuance to the question. And we on the outside, if we've been in Sunday school a few times and been in the Christmas story and those things, we know there's a lot going on to that answer. And so Pilate, verse 35, I'm not Jewish. Your own people are trying to kill you. What have you done? And I really think he's asking it in this way of, what have you done to make these people so angry with you that they want you dead? Because it doesn't take long with Jesus to see that he's not a Barabbas. He's not some outlaw. What have you done to get these people so riled up? And so Jesus answers his question, and this is where we're starting to get into the meat of what's going on here. Because Pilate and Jesus have this conversation, and none of the other gospel writers really give us all these details. And so Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from your way of thinking, Pilate. My kingdom is not the way Rome works. My kingdom is not built on an ethnicity. It's not built on a political system. And it's definitely not built on an army of swords and spears and armor. Not like you're thinking, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. It's not from here. Where is it from? What kind of kingdom is it? What kind of king is Jesus? And that's really kind of convicting to me and a challenge to us all. What kind of king is he? Because obviously, he's not the king of those Jews that were saying, crucify him just a few minutes later. He was not their king. They did not claim him. They did not own him. As we sang in one of our Christmas hymns just a little bit ago, own him as king. That is us claiming him and putting him over ourselves. As the old preacher would talk about, putting him on the throne of your heart so that he's the one who calls the shots. Because Lord isn't part of his name. It is a title. And for us to say it is to say that he is our master. He gets to call the shots. We are the slaves. And slaves is a very loaded term in America, but it's a very appropriate term for us in that It's us humbling ourselves and saying, no, he calls the shots. He's the boss. Totally. My rights are completely subjugated to what his will is. And it's not enough to just say the words. As Jesus warned on the Sermon on the Mount, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Not enough to say it. It is only, it's real. For him to truly be Lord, to truly be King. And so they had rejected him as the King of the Jews, at least on that day. And he's not a king of a political nation, not of an ethnicity or any of those things. He'd already taught them that his flock was a lot bigger and a lot smaller. It was a lot smaller at that point in time, but it was a lot bigger in that he knew he had a whole lot of sheep and he was going to go send his servants to go find them. It's a lot bigger. It's the kingdom of heaven. And so he's not a king leading an army against Rome or any of those things. And the reality is, that's why they rejected him. What have you done? Why are they so angry with you? Because I'm not the king they wanted. They wanted someone to lead an army just like David and defeat all their enemies and make them look good and give them more power. And that's, God's not about our agenda. You know, it was asked, I assume it's moderately true. It was asked of Abraham Lincoln, do you think God is on our side? And he said, it's more important that we be on God's side. That is the question. He's the one who is the king. And so there we have the question. Pilate says, so you're talking about that you have a kingdom. Are you a king then? What kind of king are you is really what he's asking, isn't he? If you're not the king of the Jews, you're not a king over an army, and you're not here to take over Rome, what kind of king are you? And so Jesus answered the question, says, you say rightly that I am a king. You're right. I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus says, this is a part of the truth. And as I kept meditating on Jesus' responses to Pilate this week, I probably should have done it a long time before this week, but as I continued thinking on it in preparation for this morning, it really started to dawn on me. You remember there's really two stories. There is the truth and there is the lie. It started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? God said that in the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And the serpent came to Eve and said the lie. No, you won't die. You'll be like God. You'll get to make your own rules of what is good and evil. And what did they do? Eve was deceived. Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. They believed the lie. Not a lie, the lie. And that became the descent, the fall of humanity. And we've all bought into the lie, just like our ancestor, Adam and Eve. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've each gone our own way. We each wanted to be our own little God, making our own rules of what is right and what is wrong. And when given the chance, we will call evil good, and we will call good evil. Each one doing what is right in his own eyes. It's the pattern. From Genesis, through the law, through Judges, through the kings, the prophets, all the way to Jesus' day and to this day. And until that day when he puts an end to the lie and the liar who started the whole thing. And so Jesus lays it out here. He says, the truth is that I'm the king. I'm the one who says what is right and wrong because I'm the only one that knows what is right. He's God. And he's been teaching through all that history the way of God rightly. Through what he revealed to Abraham, what he revealed to Moses, what he revealed through the prophets. Each time, calling his people to trust him. He's the king. And other people would wear the little crown and have the little title and the little stick. But it was their job to point to him because he's the true king and the hero of the story. And so we decide not if he's king. He is king, whether you decide that or not. We decide where we're going to be in relation to that king. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua challenged his generation and the generation to follow. Choose you this day. Will you serve the gods of this world and who make up their own rules of what is right and what is wrong? Or will you serve the Lord? All caps, Yahweh, Jehovah. He is the king. The king of all of heaven. And so, what does that look like to choose? Well, Jesus told Pilate, those who, let me make sure I read it to you right. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See how John's connecting the dots for us? My sheep hear my voice. Those who are of the truth hear my voice. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Do we have ears to hear? Do we seek what God has to say? And so what do we talk about in Sunday school? Well, in our class, it was about God's Word and hearing His Word. Not just for an hour or two on a Sunday morning, but every day. That we be taking heed to His Word, that I might not sin against Him. Because His commandments are true and righteous altogether. And what is sad is that Pilate says to him, what is truth? What good is it? Does it even matter? He wasn't willing to listen. He didn't even stay and hear the answer to his own question, did he? He asked his question and went out because he'd already made up his mind. He was not of the truth. And what's convicting to me is, do I take the time? Do I take the time with God and His Word? Or do I just breeze through it so I can check that box? Those who are of the truth hear, listen to His voice. Because Jesus indeed is King. I have already belabored that point, but I want to just tick a few boxes here as I do. And that is, Jesus is King of the Jews. They didn't claim Him. They didn't listen put themselves under his voice. But he is the son of David, as prophesied in the second psalm, the anointed one. Psalm 2 is good stuff, by the way. He's the king of heaven. But to get to heaven, where was he going to go? He was going to ascend the cross, wasn't he? There would be no crown without the cross. There would be a cruel Roman cross. He came to reign from the cross. That's why his servants don't fight, but die. Because they're following their Savior. He had 12,000 angels he could have called upon to save him from the cross. But he didn't. Instead, he took it for you and for me. Jesus is the King, ascending the cross to receive the crown. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was our verse from Vacation Bible School. Looking unto Jesus, who saw the cross, but knew that on the other side was the crown. Because he came not to defeat flesh and blood. He came to defeat powers and principalities. He came to defeat sin. He came to defeat the devil. He came to defeat death itself. Because we don't know who our enemies are. We need him to teach us even that. Because we are part of the problem. We are our own enemy until we are in Christ. That's how much we desperately need Jesus. And so he came to defeat those enemies, to defeat the lie and all the little lies that trickle down from that, and all the kingdoms of this world built upon the lie. And all the little lies that have trickled down from that. Because he came to found his church of people born again. They needed a new heart. They needed his spirit. From every kingdom, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Big time. And so, yes, Jesus is not just a king. He is the king. He is the one who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so we see a lot from this conversation between Jesus and Pilate. But Pilate did get one thing right. Did you notice the end of verse 38? Pilate goes out and he says, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate found no fault in him at all. That is his legal verdict. That our Jesus is without sin, without spot, without blemish. And so as he went to the cross, he is the perfect Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And so we have an invitation. Miss Hawley is going to lead us in an invitation song. And the invitation is pretty obvious this morning, isn't it? One is that if you have not trusted in Jesus, then you are still in your sins. It is a good time to be forgiven of your sins. But even if you have trusted in Jesus, are there parts of your life where you're still hanging on to your version of right and wrong instead of submitting to the King who knows what is right and what is wrong? Then I pray that we surrender that to Him, because there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it is death. It is corruption. And so let us surrender that thing that is deadly in order to claim the one who is eternal life. But whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting this morning, will you stand and will you respond?